Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We got a real treat for you this time. We're going to be ranking Mortal Kombat.
You didn't know it was originally going to be like a licensed title based on Jean-Claude Van Damme's Bloodsport, right?
I did not know that. So it was Johnny Cage, literally, like, was going to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, I think what I remember hearing is that they actually wanted to get Jean-Claude, but of course he felt that project was likely below him at the time.
Oh, it was. It's, funny thing is, like, the story of Mortal Kombat is more realistic than the actual story that Bloodsport is based on, which is totally fabricated.
Yeah, I mean, did Frank Dukes really beat Ogre at Karate Champ? You know, like, who knows? I don't think so.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101 we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Don't be a smartass kid.
Hey everybody, we're back, and for this episode we're going to be talking about a game called Marble Madness, which was nominated by @Phoenix_Red. It was developed by Atari Games and published by Atari Games for the arcade. Earliest release date appears to be December 15th, 1984, around the globe. Somehow I doubt that is perfectly accurate, but
probably just like one arcade in America, and then they released a few more.
So as we were discussing right before we pressed record on this show, and I'm gonna check right now to make sure I actually did press record. I did. That's great. So it was developed. Its creator is one Mark Cerny.
That's Cerny. Yes.
Who you may know from various huge successes, but he did this success when he was only 17 years old.
Which makes me feel like shit.
Yeah, yeah. I feel great.
I don't know why everybody else feels so jealous of other people's successes. Let's be honest here. He had an unfulfilling life. He died lonely. We'll just rewrite his life here, okay? No.
Well, we don't, you know, we're assuming he's going to. It's only a matter of time.
Mark Cerny, he went from Atari to work at Sega on the Sonic games, moved to Sony, worked on all of the Crash and Spyro.
Developed the PlayStation 4, developed Sex 2.0, which
I don't know,
we all
retired
owe
to work with Kojima or something on Death Stranding. This guy is just unbelievable. Actually, probably a genius. Kind of that sort of
successfully replaced his own blood with liquid gold.
He might do it too.
It's just like he is. No, like it's there's a lot of great, amazing games that were made by people who are really, really super young, because in the 1980s, that's just how things worked.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that got on computers, had the brains to pick up programming, and Marble Madness programmed in C, not in assembly. Ooh, what?
I'm impressed.
There's a thing for you. There you go.
Definitely deep. Know what's impressive about that. That's me.
It is.
To be fair, that's actually interesting because that's technically how, you know, it's written in code and not in like machine op codes and shit where you would have to be, you'd have to be.
Assembly is really hard to use.
You'd have to be wild to do that.
And they just made it in C, which is like surprising for a 1984 arcade game to be running
absolutely.
On. Yeah, it's just like a bit of a surprise.
Because Model assembly Madness. Would be, it'd be a lot easier to squeeze stuff into the.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, thank you. So the idea is that it was a really efficient code, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I can tell you.
Is that what you're saying?
Kind of.
Not what you're saying.
Marble Madness is the isometric marble game. You've seen it before. I refuse to believe you haven't seen Marble Madness. It's
but just in case you haven't, it's an isometric marble game. That's no, it's like it's like
2D monkey ball. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Are you happy now?
Okay.
It works quite well. Like they solve so many. You had to solve so many visual problems to make this game understandable, like intelligible to the player. And that's one of the things that makes it so impressive. But the other thing is just the way it controls, which is we're ranking the arcade version, right? So we're talking about the trackball controller.
We should talk about,
you get to use a trackball. It's so cool. I love trackballs.
Yeah. And again, like for 1984, this is really impressive visually. Like if you notice one really cool thing about the marble is it has a square of pixels in it, meaning like 8 distributed pixels on like corners and sides that rotate in 3D or give that illusion correctly to kind of give you the visual of the marble rolling rather than it just being like a static crystal sprite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if they weren't there, you wouldn't feel like the marble was rolling at all.
No.
Yeah, you probably could have made the game without doing that and people would have sort of gotten it. But the fact that they did that is like a great... It's a great understanding of how to use like a very minimum amount of like, you know, very low resolution graphics and stuff and do it in a way that communicates like the illusion of 3D and all before we had pre-rendered graphics workstation type platformers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, it was a big deal.
The thing is he did it in C, which means, you know what? He had a lot of help. You know, if he had done it in assembly, I would have had some respect for him. That jerk.
That's true.
I'll tell you what's really, really cool is, you know, the mazes, the isometric viewports and stuff. That's all ray tracing. It's not sprites because you would never have been able to fit that many sprites in. So it's all just points drawn, you know, it's just all mathematical points that are then, you know, filled in and not filled in. And it's how that you can get that actual light and shadow in this one is because it's actually calculating the points and then rendering them out into.
Does the- even the like do you even like the ports do that? Do you know?
I think so, because some of them would probably have to actually fit it in, because there's like 8-bit ports of this and stuff. I don't know if they could do
they
it
they just don't
that.
Have those effects, I think.
They don't have all the effects, no. Some of them
are the,
horrible.
Because the NES version, while being far from the ideal version to play, is still quite playable.
Like, it's very playable, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I mean, maybe I'll look this up or something. I would just be really shocked if the console ports did that.
I cannot remember.
Yeah, I don't think they would. That's why.
Bust out the basic code or whatever they were using for the Commodore 64.
We're all
going to
agree that they don't, and that we know for a fact
that
they don't.
I don't care.
And we're going to move on.
All right. Wait. Okay, Cal, hold on a second here. I understand now, because I was kind of side-eyeing this. They were the stages are pre-rendered.
That's right.
Using a ray tracer. It's not the game's not actively ray tracing.
No, it's not real-time ray tracing. Good lord.
Okay. I was going to say, well, that's what you made it sound like.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying. Okay.
Why would I? Yeah. No. It's just one of the first games that uses the... You know, it properly uses ray tracing to generate its points. It's great.
Right now, there's some listeners going, oh my God, these people know nothing of ray tracing.
It's ray tracing. It traces rays, people.
Listen, Video Game Foundation, I was the one who corrected them. So don't hate me, okay?
You just got the wrong impression because I gave you the wrong impression. But that's not my problem.
I got the wrong impression.
It
was also the first, another first of this game. It was the first to use true stereo sound. And I don't really know. Yeah, because like other games would have, of course, used mono because you can't hear an arcade game anyway. It's like in a giant, like, you know, echoey room full of like smoke and drug dealers.
It's a room full of other arcade games that are all making noise.
Yeah,
not only
it's basically
that,
like
but
a background of a stage in NARC is what every arcade was back in those days. So it's like
not only that, but games. What was this guy's name who made them? Who made these games?
Atari?
No, the guy. David.
Mark Cerny.
Mark Cerny. That's it. Thank you, Mark. Also, I don't know if you knew about this, but if you have an open wound and you put your hand on the trackball of Marble Madness, it will heal. That's how incredible
it just knits itself back together.
Yes,
it's amazing.
But don't accidentally hit the edge of the trackball while you're smacking it. You will never forget doing that, ever. Never.
Look, you'll lose a life, but you won't have to amputate an arm.
It's a
boon to humanity.
All right, more seriously, I love this game to pieces, but I will say I hurt myself on the trackball playing it when I was younger.
Did you pinch your fingers?
Yeah.
No, because like you have to really hit the trackball to like you get so into it, like come on, get through the thing, and then all of a sudden it's like oh my god, the edge of my hand got caught between the trackball and the part of the cabinet where the trackball fits.
Yeah, so, I mean,
help me, Lord.
Although the easiest way to understand this game would just be to, like, use the magic of the internet and, like, search for Marble Madness and watch somebody play it. It's, you gotta really understand, like, it's moving a, it's like, did anybody have one of those, like, marble, like, what were they called? They're, like, basically, like, a series of plastic tubes you connect and you'd run marbles down. They'd go from the top to the bottom. There'd be, like, different little, nobody had that except for me.
I don't know what you're even talking about.
You build like a tower of like, but I don't. Yeah, that's yeah. You build up a tower of slides and stuff, and you put marbles down.
Yeah, and then you put marbles down the top in a funnel, and they all go down in like a row. Anyway,
try to imagine a world without like without mobile phones and touchscreens, and like maybe as you're a kid, you would like roll a marble down a hill and see little obstacles and stuff as it bounced off and all that.
They inevitably like disappear into like a storm drain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically it's kind of like that, but a video game. And it's a lot of fun because, they, you know, there's like little obstacles and enemies. Like there's a black marble that tries to hit you and knock you into like pits.
I think you mean an absolute dickhead.
Yeah.
Or black marble is one of the ultimate villains of classic video games. Yeah.
That's true.
Or like those, the green little like slug, like
those things are terrifying. They're like
those
bosses
that
leap and then they just grab your marble and devour it. This is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's just a realistic nightmare game.
Where there's like these like slimes, you know. I gotta say too, you know,
they melt you.
Like really advanced physics for a 1984 game. Like there's inertia and friction and all that.
Yeah.
Gravity, obviously.
I was gonna say I would hesitate to call it physics, but you're right, there is inertia of sorts. Like it does.
The marble will come to a stop, won't it?
And if you
like
land,
it rolls up a hill, it slows down. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If you land, too, like, if you, like, because there's verticality to all the levels, like, the marble bounces. It's not just like,
yeah, it bounces
whatever.
A little bit. If you drop too far, you will just straight up die.
Shatter.
But, like,
and then a little broop comes out and sweeps it away.
It's
great. That's right.
It's so like, cute. I mean, that's what blows my mind is that this was, like, somebody's pretty much probably first real commercial game, right?
It was his second, if you want to know. He did, I think, Major Havoc. Was that Cerny? I think it was. It might have been a clone of Major Havoc.
I mean, you're the person who knows everything, Cal. I'm just, like, guessing at things.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if, like, yeah, Mark Cerny, like, you know, invented, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I will mention that, so we don't give him too much solitary credit. A second guy named, sorry, I don't know his first name, but Flanagan worked on it as well. He did some of the physics, I think.
He held him back!
Just the Yoko Ono of this outfit. Yoko doesn't deserve the hatred she gets. Let's move on. I'm sorry for perpetuating that that myth. I mean, the crazy thing is like the controls to create the controls for this game, not just like the idea of the trackball in the fake physics and stuff, but like finding the proper balance of like control over the movement of the marble and lack of control. Right? Because you can control its movement somewhat, but also, like, you know, the momentum and the direction that you're pushing the ball in kind of takes over at a certain point.
Yeah,
At no point does the game feel like, it's like, this is the wrong amount of control. Like, I don't understand why the ball isn't moving the way I'm pushing it. It's like, you always understand, because of the way that the play fields are designed and the way the physics work, and it always feels like it's doing what it should be doing. And it's an illusion, right? It's like, it doesn't really make it. It's kind of like how Mario can like somehow like, oh, I didn't mean to jump in that direction. Back up. Like you can't change directions in mid jump, but Mario can, because that's what feels like it should be the right response. It responds to your thoughts in a way.
Well, because
that's a really tricky thing to pull off.
You're feeling like this marble is, I guess, like a real thing in a real space, and you're moving it by moving the marble, which is a trackball. It's very, like it's this very just strong sense of like, yep, it's working. This is what you do. And the game has a time limit. Basically, it's technically got six levels, but it's really five because one's basically just a really short tutorial of like, this is how you play. But there's a time limit for each stage.
It's literally called practice, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's a pretty restrictive time limit, so you can't really cruise your way through it. And this is where the physics and the fact that you really got to smack this thing around comes into play, because you're like, it's counting down really quickly, and you're like, oh, go, 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 and you're smacking this thing really hard, building up as much speed as possible, and you're like, oh, I got a turn, so you start, you smack the trackball, you try and stop it, you swing it the other way, and the marble's just zigging and zagging all the way down the slope, or up the slope in one other level. But
I love that level. When can we talk about this? That level?
Just talk about the level.
Now, the silly level. It's great. It's a really fun level where all the physics are inverted. It's like dogs and cats living together. It's just great. It's
pandemonium.
They managed to make 5.5 levels, and that's because they ran out of, like, basically time and budget for the game. And they just, like, they still managed to squeeze in so many ideas into these, like, few levels, and it doesn't... They're all great levels, basically. They're all interesting.
This is also, like, it's got to be, yeah, it's got to be the best use of isometric viewpoint in classic arcade history, because, you know, there are other games, of course, that did it first. Lord knows.
I can't imagine this game with a different perspective. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. It's impossible to do. So it's like this and Q-Bert are basically, like, your two competitors.
Oh, I see. Isometric, you were saying. I was going to say, because I feel like Super Monkey Ball ends up being, like, the closest you have to modern Marble Madness, yes, or Marble Madness in 3D, which...
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, as long as, you know, we're kickstarting things, we are, right? That was a seamless transition.
I've got my finger on the Kickstarter button right now.
Are we getting more ahead. Marble Madness?
I think a 3D Marble Madness would be great.
Yeah.
Written in C, and like it should
still
be.
Make sure
it's written in C. If it's not written in C, you will notice the difference, I assure you, dear listener. But the isometric thing allows a lot of the obstacles to make visual sense. So, like, for example, if you're traversing a seesaw or a teeter totter or whatever you want to call it, where it's like a plane that's on a central axis. So if you're too far to one side, it's going to drop you down because you're gonna put too much weight on that side. That doesn't make sense in any other perspective unless you can do true 3D. So that's a great use of that. It's just like I said at the very beginning, like the amount of visual, like, spatial problems it solves to make the gameplay work is staggering. There are design documents that have been uploaded from this game you can find where somebody has sketched them out, and it's really cool, like, how much they thought about this.
They threw out ideas because they didn't have time for it, and they're like, well, it doesn't really work in the perspective, get rid of it. And they were like, this is the best perspective for the game, so we're doing
it's great. The dating sim aspects did have to be scrapped, and that is a sacrifice, but it's still, you know, we all know what could have been. It's,
you can date,
you get the
marble
harem
man
ending with all the different marbles. It's beautiful.
You know, you and the black marble were riving for the affections of the weird, like, monotube.
The blue and the red marble are the main characters, right?
Yes, you have the two-player mode, and I love two-player modes, and it's in there.
If there's a more frustrating, you can smack each other off the edges, right?
Like, you can kill your friend.
And it's very slight, but there is some non-linearity insofar as, like, some of the courses have, like, really, like, they're like, hey, you can get to the goal here, or if you want a little bit of a bonus, here's a tighter way to go.
Yeah, through. I love the, like, bits where it's like, this way will get you more points. This is, like, thin-ass line, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna try, and you die. You'll just straight.
Or there's, like, a thin little, like, line, or a green carpet that's, like, doing waves that you have to navigate.
I love the waves.
You know what's weird is, like, I was playing the original Doom lately because it was out on the Switch, and I thought, hey, I should download this for free and play it on my computer like a non-chump. No, because you can get it on GOG for like $1.25, so that's what you should do, weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I want to complain about how I have to enter my email address. Anyway, so there's a lot of, like, in the later stages of Doom, I think in Final Doom, right? Like, there's, is it Final Doom or is it just, like, the fourth episode?
Where are you going with this?
I'm going somewhere and you will find out about it. Just no. So the reason why is because there's a lot of, like, the final stages in Doom have a lot of these weird, like, balance beam challenges where it's like, you've got to, like, move across this very narrow space. And it always reminded me of Marble Madness because the challenge, but in Doom, it feels like a fake challenge. It feels like a challenge that shouldn't exist because you're like, I know how to walk straight, damn it. But if you're a marble, it makes perfect sense. It's really hard to go straight when you're a marble. But when you're a Doom guy who can't look at his feet, it's really, really hard. But the challenge is essentially the same, right? Yeah.
Anyway, it's a long-winded, but it's interesting how these challenges kind of, intentionally or not, found their way into other games. And those challenges really don't exist anymore because nobody will tolerate that.
Well, unless the big problem with Model Madness is also it's basically, it demands a trackball. It has lots of ports and they are functional, but you are missing out if you are not playing it on a trackball.
I remember I liked this game so much when I had the NES, right? I was a kid and I had this stupid little trackball, or so it said on the tin, controller for the NES. You might be like, there's a trackball controller for the NES. No, it was just a big friggin' orb that you tilted like left, up, down, and right. Like it didn't roll. Like it just like moved up and down.
I'm just picturing orb. An orb with like no cord, no buttons.
It was set in a controller, but I'm like, yay, Marble Madness with a trackball like in the arcade, and then no.
I would bet that the best NES, like, officially sanctioned Nintendo product that you could use with the NES version would probably be that, what was it, the NES Max?
The Max.
That weird thing that had, like, the proto, like, what was it? It was basically just, like, a slider, like a thumb slider that worked along, like, the actual... It really was only touching the four buttons, like the directional buttons of a D-pad, but with a thumbstick, and it's like a fake thumbstick, basically.
Yeah, it's garbage.
For certain games, like for example, Crystallis, it works really well, surprisingly, because even though it's a fake, you know, analog control, it's really not analog at all, of course. But it was real does in my work. Heart. Mm. And that's what really matters, Slow Beef. That's what really mattered. But I need to, I've got Marble Madness and I've got one of those stupid ass controllers. I really should have plugged it in. I bet it works pretty well, actually, because a lot of it is not so much the limitations of the actual inputs. It's the limitations of the form of the inputs. It's really hard to get your thumb to.
Well, you're not supposed to be super accurate in this game. That's the catch, is it's supposed to be a little tricky to do what you want to do.
I think you do need like a level of some kind of analog in order to like get what they were going for, you know, with Marble Madness. Because they meant for you, it's not just like a mouse kind of trackball thing. You're meant to like roll that effer, you know, like really like
go smacking those balls. Yeah, it's nuts.
Like the trackball's bigger than, you know, like a human fist or whatever. It's a big trackball. It's not like a tiny little thing on the side of a mouse. It's huge.
Yeah.
I will mention, I got a tiny bit more trivia, and I know that you clearly like that.
I do.
The original trackball for this game and the design, they actually wanted to use a motorized trackball that would make it harder to knock it back uphill. Like, it would apply extra force to you.
Oh my god.
How could that work?
What's the guy's name? John Cena that did all the Dave's turn? Man, what a madman.
That is crazy. How would they do that? They'd have to have like weird rubber stoppers on the bottom, like next to the rollers.
You don't even know C versus assembly. Let's not pretend you're an engineer here, okay, pal?
All right. How would you do it?
Well, I wasn't offering my services. But as long as we're here, I would do it by. I would have rubber stoppers, like you said, like on the side of the mouth,
of like anti-lock brakes for a trackball.
Yes.
Like
it would be like, that's it. You have them on an axle.
Crack like the code. Brakes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Could you imagine now what we got to do? Expensive?
Yo, kickstart a baby. We get rich off the podcast.
You all made fun of me for inventing that time machine, but now we've got to use it.
That's not the only reason we made fun of you.
Okay, that's true. But you made fun of me for many reasons. But one of them was inventing the time machine, and now we know what to do with it, right? We go back, invent the anti-lock brake trackball, and steal Mark Cerny's life. And just wallow in success for the rest of our lives.
And it'll be like terrible Steins Gate, where we have to like undo.
It'll turn
our
out everyone
worst.
Will be freaking dead or something. Well, I was gonna nuke the planet, but I really like this Marble Madness without motorized trackball, so just leave it.
The A-lock brake trackball just makes me want to nuke the planet. It's all over.
What? Who could have foreseen this?
I mean, that's Missile Command. I don't think Missile Command has the motorized either. You know, the only reason they didn't do it was they couldn't get one of the sides working properly, apparently. Like, they got a functional model. They were building it, and they went,
What, Atari, the craziest thing I've ever heard. I thought you were I did not think they actually tried to make it.
They did try to make it, and I think Atari was also like, the video games industry just crashed here. We have literally no money. Please don't do this.
Look, this cabinet is going to cost as much as a minivan if we don't stop now. Like, please, for the love of God, stop the ray tracing, all right? Like, where do we want to put this thing? Because we got to put it somewhere, and I think it's going to have to be pretty damn high just for the innovation factor. It's almost like we've got number one is Tetris, because
I don't know when this is coming out, but I cannot believe we talked about another innovative game just recently that you had no sympathy for whatsoever, and all of a sudden Marble Madness. No, my friend, it's reckoning time. We're going 500.
It's almost as if my opinions are not formed by my actual thoughts, but just by the needs of an entertaining show that needs some amount of conflict. But by all means, let's expose the artifice behind the show. Yeah,
other thing. You know what's really good about Marble Madness? They destroyed a lot of the cabinets because it wasn't popular. Marble Madness, as you've all played it, it's not very long, so it basically nosedived hard after people were like, I love Marble Madness, this is the best game ever, and then like 6-7 weeks later they were like, I've finished Marble Madness.
Once arcade operators realized you could only make like $9 per playthrough off it, they're like, crap?
Well, it basically, the cabinets for this one, unbelievably, are quite rare. Like, compared to other cabinets at the time, it's a rarer arcade game, despite it being Marble Madness, which is frustrating.
And it's not because people were, like, converting them to other cabinets, it's because, like, because there was no other Marble Madness. What are you going to
convert it to? In its Golden favor, tea. Marble Madness is proof of an unjust world.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
No, God is dead. You guys are like a billionaire.
This is creator.
I love Marble Madness a lot. It's definitely one of my top three trackball games.
What the? Whoa! What a distinction! Calm this guy down!
Because there are other
Let's not go crazy here.
Top three Cal trackball games. What a psychopath.
I defy you to name six total trackball games. Go.
Oh, boy. You got Rampot. You've got Reactor.
Don't really
you've
do
got
it.
Missile Command.
It's funnier
you've
got if you
Sonic
just say
the
I can't,
Hedgehog
right?
Arcade. God damn it. Other than Marble Madness, I don't think I could do the last two offhand.
I like, you can't even commit in this ridiculous scenario, and you're like, top three.
The fact that you named more than two is impressive to me, so I'll let you have
the W. That's
why
I wanted to do it. I was really hoping I could get six, but I can't remember. I'll get there.
All right, so what I'm saying is, I think Marble Madness should rank really high because it's a very abstract concept that once you've seen it done, it seems totally obvious, but before it's done... It's like,
I don't think it's totally obvious. I think it's just like, wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, but it's obvious once you've seen it, right? Once you've seen it done, anyone can do it. But
it's one of those eureka things like Tetris, where I think like it's one of those like, holy crap, what a great idea. Like, why didn't I think of that kind of thing? And the answer is you're not Dave Cerno, whatever that guy's
name. His name is Mark Cerno.
Dave Cerno.
Dave Cerno.
Creator of ball blitzes.
Look, just because he replied to our invite with a giant middle finger emoji doesn't mean that we should be treating him this way. It's really cool how he has those access to the special giant emojis, by the way. I think it's only
for millionaires.
I bet
he would, too. Yeah, that'd be a...
Why does my phone recognize this? It's like...
All right,
but does it really deserve to be, like, even in the Tetris realm? Like, is there somebody talk me down? Because I'm out of control. I'm out of control.
Where's Katamari Damacy?
It's at four.
What the hell? Never mind. I'm not talking.
Katamari Damacy is like, I think it's a good, I think I would rank that higher, not because it's like nobody would have thought of it, but it's more like just the satisfaction of just rolling up stuff and collecting it.
The problem with Marble Madness is it really does lack staying power. It's you love playing it, but it's not one that you just will keep going for. It's like,
There's also, there was a prototype, I think, sequel, right?
Yes, Marble Man. It's Marble Madness 2, Marble Man, and there's allegedly about 12 or so cabinets were made, and about 3 or 4 definitely exist, and the ROM is not available because they will just hold onto it until they die.
So,
and I hope they
do. We can arrange that. That's the sound you rubbed my hands together in anticipation of murder.
I really love this game, and I really wish we could play the sequel. There are more stages.
But you're kind of right, though. Like, you can't really improve upon it without having, like, motion controls. When you got motion controls, it's a whole different ball game, to, for lack of better.
Man, that just hit me. Anyway, yeah. I do.
Right? Very mad about that.
I do think. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. I feel like if the sequel is Marble Man, it's just like, whereas I just want more Marble Madness.
Yeah, that's actually one of the problems with the sequel, is they thought that the reason people, like, they were trying to compete with all these, you know, slightly more edgy, slightly more, like, they were trying to compete with Street Fighter, basically. They're like, it needs a character. It needs
people
a hook.
Need to relate to the marble. We need marbles from various spots on the globe. We need a Chinese marble. We need a yoga marble.
I think Atari really wanted to, like, put faces and stuff on the marble
They would be that stupid, but,
we can't put faces on the marble. Why would you do this? They could have got away with it. They would have, and it would have been horrible.
Yeah, but Super Monkey Ball is pretty much like the idea of, like, it's Marble Madness, but with a man inside. But the man's a monkey. It's not a big difference, you know. It's like,
I mean, yeah, I think the only thing is, like, Super Monkey Ball is, like, more about, I don't know. It's like you tilt the world and stuff. I guess like it's creative, but Super Monkey Ball is all about, like, the environment and things like that, and, platforms.
Do we know for sure that the original concept of Marble Madness wasn't that you tilted the environment? Because
the original concept of Marble Madness was more based, it was a little bit of, like, a racing game. It was a little bit more in racing, but the actually...
pornographic.
It was very racy, yes. but no, it was, mini golf was a big influence on the game, which you can see the moment you know mini golf is a big influence.
True, I get that. Yeah.
It's basically mini golf racing, and then they kind of ended up blurring it into Marble Madness.
So I'm probably wrong then. It's like nobody thought, like, oh, if you tilted the environment, then, but the effect is same. It's just like it just makes less sense, because you're like, why does the marble have its own free will? Like, why does it choose which direction it goes? But
don't question.
But it doesn't matter,
because
I'm not questioning. I'm just saying that
I was just saying either way, like, it, I think it, it probably makes, like, more sense with the trackball that you move the marble, you know. Maybe if you had, like, some kind of plate you tilted or some crap like that, it would work better.
It'd be great if there was just, like, giant, like, digital hand that covered up half the screen to show you, like, physically moving the marble.
I would really love if you had a giant plate that you moved to replicate moving the level.
It'd be like Monkey Ball. It would just, like, move on either.
You have the plate and you hold the plate, you tilt it, and you move the plate to move the level, like, 1-to-1.
Look, I know Kevin Starshine or whoever made this thing.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Dr. Kevin Starshiner.
MD.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look, I'm no Matthew Broderick from War Games, but look, we're talking about...
Look, so 106, we have Space Harrier.
106?
106 is where... Space Harrier used to be in the 30s. This is how far...
I will brook no ranking below Kicks, because it's better than Kicks.
Remember when your heart was full of love and your mind was open to creativity, not the horrible husk of a person you are now who would give.
If I could remember, I'd be a happier person.
Yeah, that must be before, like, 2011, because I don't remember that.
I don't really know him well.
94 is Whiz Ball, and it's better than Whiz Ball. I will agree to that. It's a better ball themed game. It's going to be the top of our...
Where's Gomer of Speed? Is it better than that? That's a
Gomer
of
Speed is like 300 and something.
It goes below.
Can
that,
I say, so.
69.
No, not Gunstar Heroes again.
All right, look, it's got to go. Look, we got Warframe at 64 for some reason, because I think the reason might be that people are playing Warframe recently. And
Warframe's very good.
Science.
Yeah, science. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. Science. Hey, science. The reason being science. I think I got to put it above Galaga, because, like, Galaga and even Robotron 2084, which is right below Galaga, those are very much, like, iterations upon a concept.
These games, though, these are the classic arcade games. That this game does belong to those. I was just going to say, the thing about Marble Madness is that if I was to see a cabinet in, you know, probably at this point, it'd be just in some random, like in a place that stores old cabinets for people to play. That's the only place you're going to find a Marble Madness cabinet. But if you saw one, you should definitely play. You should never turn down the chance to play a round or two of Marble Madness on a cabinet, which is... That's all I got.
I was going to say, so, like, I mean, I'm kind of skittish about putting it very high, but, like, it has Tetris appeal, meaning that people who don't like video games would still like Marble Madness.
I think so, too. Yeah, that's a good...
My sister, for example, does not play video games at all, but she loved Marble Madness in the arcade in the 80s.
That's perfect. I mean, there's no explanation needed for this game either. It's just get the marble to the bottom of the hill or get the marble to the top of the hill. There's no other explanation needed, which is great. It's always good.
But at the same time, right? So, but at the same time, it hasn't had kind of like the zeitgeist dominating effect that most of the games in the top 10 have, right? So Shadow of Colossus, Super Mario 64, Katamari Damacy, Pokemon. I mean, these are games that created entire genres. In a sense.
Like, well, the interesting thing about Katamari Damacy is it also, even though we've been going on about Monkey Ball a lot, Damacy is a lot like this game in terms of just expanding out the idea of a slightly difficult to control object that rolls around. It's a very clever way to improve upon the formula. It's not the same thing, but it's very clever.
And it's also a game that I think a lot of non-gamers would probably really be able to enjoy, even though it's, you know, ridiculous. I mean, probably because it's ridiculous. So I'm thinking like below Pokemon, above Super Mario Bros. 3.
I think you're a little, that's a bit high. It's a little high.
Well, I got to start somewhere,
man.
Like,
I'm barely just, play.
It's tricky. I think it's tricky because I really love it. It is short. You know,
we accidentally got three people that really love Marble Madness on the Marble Madness.
Okay, go ahead.
if I had to like kind of, it is short, right? Like there's a point where, you know, you have to say, like, okay, this is kind of all this game goes. I feel like it had a lot of untapped potential. Like, there could have been a world where this was a home port somehow, but you lose the trackball. But there's, like, maybe 10 more levels or maybe at least 5 more, some new enemies or things like that, that we just didn't get, you know?
True.
Yeah.
And we didn't get the sequel, of course, so it's like...
Right. I mean, it's also, it is a game that really works best in arcade. Like, I do feel like the console ports are fine, but they are a little substandard, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important part of it, which is, I don't know, is that an accessibility problem?
I certainly wouldn't put, like, the NES port, which is probably the best one I've ever played. I wouldn't put it, like, if it, to stand on its own, I wouldn't quite put it that high because it loses a lot of that, the tactile, yeah.
Can I tell you, this is a true story, too. Will Harvey, who made The Immortal, ported Marble Madness to the Commodore 64 and added a secret really hard level that could only be beaten with two players because he was just a jerk. That's a true story. Anyway,
That is true.
And then he went on to make The Immortal. Surprise, surprise.
I actually wanted to find out why he did that. Was he just an asshole?
Yes, Will Harvey.
That's okay, cool. Yeah.
I don't have anything else for you except that.
Because I know
Harvey.
About the water stage and it is the most.
No, I'm
going
to go on
bastard.
To make a game about the world's shittiest wizard.
Burn in hell, gaming scum.
By the way, it's an isometric wizard. He's consistent.
That's true.
Oh my god, what if this led to The Immortal? I mean,
the marble would kick that wizard's ass, all right? We all know
that wizard would stand no chance.
I'd love to see the two marbles teaming up on that wizard, just like punking him left and right.
Can you imagine how terrible and like what a creative void you must be if like you look at Marble Madness and go, I gotta add like a dungeon crawler. Like I gotta just a fantasy thing.
This needs more wizard.
Do you have any idea how cool a like dungeon crawler that was Marble Madness would be with a trackball?
Wait a minute, the worms from The Immortal are kinda like the worms that eat your marble.
It's exactly the same game, I'm telling you. This is all connected.
We've cracked the dumb code. spitballing
right,
here.
Well, what's the lowest we'd go?
I mean, could we put asteroids at 43. I don't think this could go above asteroids.
This is better than asteroids.
I think
it's better,
than, better
asteroids.
Than
asteroids for sure.
Asteroids is just like space war for one player.
That's good, I guess.
Plus, it's on an episode with really bad audio quality, and I don't want to drive people towards that. So.
I'm looking like in top 20 area, honestly.
Okay. Well, I mean, you two get to decide. I can't keep dragging this down if you keep dragging it up.
Okay. Look, what were you thinking? You're thinking. Where are you thinking?
Well, I was going to say, like, the ceiling for me would be, I would say, below Pokemon Red and Blue, above Super Mario Brothers 3. But I don't.
I just think it doesn't have enough longevity to really get that. I think it's a phenomenally cool game, but it's just, it doesn't have, like, that much staying power. It doesn't have industry staying power either. It's just a really cool game. Is my main problem with it. I love it, but...
It's a really cool game is what's my problem with it. Quote.
That's right.
Cal.
Actually, right. I would have said that more than once. I've definitely...
All right.
All right.
How about this? I like it.
Let's move down to, like, the Undertale Dwarf Fortress range.
Okay. All
right. What do we think about that?
How about 16? It's just
above
below
Resident Evil 4?
Above, that would be above XCOM, UFO Defense, and below Metal Gear Solid.
Perfect. I've only played Metal Gear Solid of the two of those. So that's perfect for... No,
this appeals to my blind
above
spot.
Super Metroid? No. I don't even like Super Metroid.
Look, Marble Madness is like... Super Metroid is just like a better version of Metroid. And it's not really that much better in some ways.
You know what we didn't mention? Marble Madness, great soundtrack. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Oh, it does. That's so good. I love it.
It's got
it.
Great sound effects, too. Like, just
it's
the...
It's phenomenally... Yeah, you said stereo, but you didn't mention the music's great.
I know. Great. Ralphie Fiennes did so good on this game by himself at 16 or 13 or however.
Ralphie Fiennes.
Yeah, Ralphie Fiennes, you know, the 12-year-old who made this game in, like, with an electron microscope instead of, like, construction paper like other game developers.
It's all punch cards.
Yeah, there you go. It came, Marble Madness, it came from Atlantis, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that.
Okay. Right. What about below Pac-Man, above Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Why are you doing this? That's even higher!
I rethought my last statement. It seemed too low.
Just put it below Metal Gear Solid.
Look, we just established that Ralph Fiennes made a game in the 1980s that is one of the greatest...
I think you mean his brother Ralphie Fiennes.
Ralphie Fiennes.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't sound right to me. That doesn't sound right.
Maybe it was Ralph Fiennes. I'm sorry.
Jeffrey Beauregard, I think, did the music, by the way.
I think we should just stop now. I don't think it's like, no, okay. Like, just, why not above Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Because that's like the entire, like, I don't know, like fighting.
This is the entire marble rolling genre right here.
So this Super Monkey Ball and maybe Cooler World if you really want to push it, which you don't. But
meanwhile, if you want to play 2D fighting games, you're limited to how many thousands?
If you want to be a dick about it, you could say this killed the marble genre.
Yeah, it did.
Marble
that's genre true.
Died with Marble Madness. No, it didn't.
More
or less, Street Fighter killed Marble Madness. That's what I said before, and it's true. Right, fighting games, nobody was interested in your stupid ball game. That was very true. That's why Atari was like, help, we don't know what to do. Let's make really bad fighting games. And that worked out great.
Somebody ask Ralph Fiennes to develop Pit Fighter.
He's shooting... No, he went on to make Sonic the Hedgehog, another game about rolling balls. Come on!
It sounds like the last time two of us agreed on something was below Metal Gear Solid, above XCOM UFO Defense. I'm sorry for wasting so much time on this. I just thought maybe we could have a discussion, but hey, what do I know? That's where it goes, because we're done. No, we're done.
God. Are we done?
Oh, I didn't press stop yet, but
I've
got to add it. So that's where it goes. Below Metal Gear Solid for some reason, above XCOM UFO Defense for some reason.
You wanted it
Marble
there.
Madness, it is... awfully damn good, and if you ever find one in the wild, please play it. And if you've,
kickstart.
If you ever meet Ralph there, tell him thanks.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm. Check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.
We should make a giant trackball. You could sell that for people to play Marble Madness. And finally, the renaissance of rolling balls will continue.
If not us, then who? Because it ain't going to be us.